In their quest to find out what is really happening in Zimbabwe, members of Congress had a barrage of questions for witnesses Shannon Smith of the State Department, former Zimbabwean white commercial farmer Ben Frith, and Imani Countess of the Solidarity Center.
If you could just, for the record again, outline those sanctions, what's in place, how targeted are they, and did you hear appeals to change those sanctions when you were there?
Would you agree with Dr. Smith that the opposition is so fractured that they're ineffective?
Congressman Christopher Smith, the chair of the subcommittee on Africa that sponsored the hearing titled The Future of U.S.-Zimbabwe Relations, raised concern over continued reports of human rights violations by the government and President Robert Mugabe's ability to lead the country.
If the government's repressive tactics are not troubling enough, political jockeying in Zimbabwe, including the dismissal of Vice President Joyce Mujuru, places the succession to President Mugabe in doubt, which puts U.S. policy in question.
Responding to the questions on sanctions, Shannon Smith of the State Department reiterated the position that sanctions were targeted.
We have sanctions on approximately 106 individuals and 70 entities, and they are intended to be targeted. They are aimed at individuals who have disrupted democracy, engaged in corruption and other acts. The Department of Treasury, the OFAC office, evaluates those situations. But more fundamentally, it remains the sort of strongest statement, I think, of American values. Does the Zimbabwe government continue to blame their woes on it? Absolutely.
The members of Congress pressed witnesses on the state of the opposition, which the U.S. had once supported and counted on as the alternative government to that of President Mugabe.
It's a matter of sort of fact and record now that the opposition has been splintering, that the Movement for Democratic Change now has multiple movements for democratic change within it under separate leadership. There is no sort of unifying message at the moment that stretches across these parties.
Congresswoman Karen Bass, a ranking member of the subcommittee, too pressed on the question of the opposition, querying reports that they had become ineffective. Countess of the Solidarity Center responded in the affirmative.
At this point, I don't see a viable alternative today, but there are discussions going on. Morgan Tsvangirai, for example, has been engaging in grassroots conversations. I know that the MDC renewal has also been split even further. There are individuals that are forming new parties. There's rumors that within ZANU, individuals who've been forced out will form a new political party. There's a lot of conversation. But at this point in time, what is very, very clear that is that no one in power seems to be working on behalf of the people of Zimbabwe, and certainly not the working people.
With the opposition weakened and alternatives to the current government lacking, Congressman Smith questioned the role of China, Russia, in helping Zimbabwe circumvent its isolation from the West. Congresswoman Bass also raised allegations of a military base being built by China, an allegation Studio 7 could not verify. In light of those reports and the deteriorating situation in Zimbabwe, Congressman Kurt Clawson questioned the reason for supporting Zimbabwe in areas outside humanitarian issues, saying that other efforts were, in his words, hopeless. Countess, whose organization champions the right of workers, stressed the importance of staying engaged in Zimbabwe for the security of neighboring countries.
Zimbabwe is in the middle of southern Africa. What do you think will happen in South Africa, Botswana, Mozambique, Namibia, if that country implodes?
Responding to this, Clawson rebuked regional leaders who he says have continued to prop up President Mugabe despite the wave of refugees fleeing their countries due to the hardships in Zimbabwe.
So realistically, what do we do? I mean, I'm all for humanitarian help, but these same countries that you said will be impacted by the implosion are sitting it out while white people, black people, women, men, poor, everybody gets hurt by this guy.
Ben Frith, a former farmer in Zimbabwe whose father-in-law died as a result of the land raids, called on the members of Congress to maintain pressure on President Mugabe to adhere to the rule of law, particularly for the country's remaining white population who he says have been segregated and victimized.
What I was asking the United States to do today, in the spirit of Martin Luther King and the civil rights movement is to say that racism is wrong.
Journalism professor Stanford Mukasa lauded the congressional members for holding the hearing on Zimbabwe.
The United States has made it clear that it will not engage Zimbabwe in a positive way in as far as supporting its political process until and unless democracy, rule of law are all respected. And Itai Dzamara has now become a kind of an icon in terms of what must be done in Zimbabwe today.
The congressional hearing ended without any indications of dramatic change in relations between the two nations in the near future, with the U.S. expected to maintain its position of targeted sanctions on President Mugabe and his inner circle. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimyake Mwakalielie.